We headed to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into the Labatt Blue Studio. It's quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Remember, bleed blue and white.
Drink blue and light.
Thank you, Andrew P. Shea.
You're welcome.
Along with Bob Founders, I'm Jim Galante, and we've got a fun quarter coming up here. We've been doing this show for several years now, and one of the things that we've always talked about, even more so probably off the air, is we all have our man crushes, right? These are the guys that we just think are special. For some reason, and just as an example, a couple weeks ago we did our athletic freaks.
Mm-hmm.
Who did Ross Tucker bring up?
Jan Johnson.
His man crush. We all know that.
No question. There is no question. Unabashed.
Yeah, right. We know that one.
I'm going to do full disclosure on I'm not going to name them all, but my man crushes typically are these players who showed up on our show. We interviewed them, and they impressed me.
You have a biased man crush.
I am biased. The ones who come across as intelligent, interesting, even funny, and that's why I'm going to throw Sean Clifford out because he was our John Goodman for a year. He was on the show several times. Every time, showed great leadership, great maturity. Loved the kid.
The reference there being John Goodman hosting Saturday Night Live a bunch of times, and he very good every time he was on.
Exactly.
Got it.
So before we get into the question of each of your favorites, I'm going to start with this. Andy, could you name one of Bob's man crushes?
Ooh.
I can.
I think...
I made my decision on who I'm going to announce.
I think...
So I can tell you this. I will not move off the names.
I would say Owe.
Cam Brown is my pick.
Jimmy, you know me well.
Okay.
He's one of the two that I want to talk about.
Okay. Well, let's start with that then. Cam Brown, one of your obviously.
I just think that Cam Brown really looked like he grew into an outside linebacker last year at Penn State during the second half of the season. What I like about him is he represents the type of player athletically and physically that Penn State needs. It's not enough to have 100 tackles anymore. You have to be disruptive. And Cam Brown was disruptive last year. 6.5 tackles for loss. See, I know these numbers by heart. 3 forced fumbles. He was a guy. I think he had 63 tackles. He's also not going to play in the first half of the season opener because of a targeting call. But he is a guy, and I think he had 6 passes defense as well. He is a guy that can play the run or the pass. He's added strength and size. I was also impressed when I talked to him in Chicago. He was much more outgoing this year. It seems like he's real comfortable being a team leader. I really think that we haven't seen the best of him yet, and I know that Micah Parsons has a higher ceiling, but I think Cam Brown, if he can just take one more step, is going to play in the NFL, and he's going to make a lot of money in the NFL.
We also have to like about him is how much he has improved year to year.
Right. And you can never got that. A redshirt year, was undersized, played as a true freshman because they had injuries, and he looked a little lost, I think, at times, but I think he's gotten better every year, and I really like how he closed last year. I just think that if he's healthy, I think he's going to be a real big problem for offenses this year in the Big Ten.
Before he got the targeting call in the bowl game against Kentucky, that was a different Cam Brown than I had ever seen before. I was like, okay, so this is now his launching point for next year. And he got the targeting, and it was a good call. But I was like, man, the light's on. This kid's going to be really, really good.
All right. Before I ask Andy for his man crush, Bob, do you have a prediction?
You know what? He can go in a lot of different directions
here.
He can go in a lot of different directions. I don't think I can read Andy's mind on this one.
Pat Freiermuth.
Ooh. I would have been wrong. I would not.
Man crush.
I, as a true freshman, the way he conducted himself and the way he ran his routes, got himself open, made himself available, caught the ball, made athletic catches, made difficult catches look easy. I was shocked at the level that he played at, and I think he's just getting started. I think the tight end position in this offense is a lot more important than you might think. And I think I think Pat Freiermuth is he's Mike Gesicki Jr. That I see so much similarities. I'd like to see him a little deeper. You know what I mean? I want to see him catch a couple deep balls like Mike did. But other than that, I'm like, man, he blocks okay. He's going to I think he'll get
I don't know that he's
better.
The athlete that Mike is, but I do
Pure
think I do think he's going to help a lot more in the running game as he gets more accomplished, cuz he's certainly I know that he's you know, he's already 20 years old and he reclassified I think in when he was in high school, but physically when I saw him physically, you know, I was really stunned that he looked a lot closer to, like, you know, Kyle Brady or somebody like that physically, although no one's quite as big as Kyle. But I just think that he's a different kind of game changer at tight end because he can do both.
Mike Gesicki was overtly athletic, right? I think Pat Freiermuth is sneaky athletic. And if you're not paying attention, he can really do some damage.
He's also a more willing blocker.
Yes, he's
emphasis on the word willing.
Yeah, emphasis on willing or able would be a good thing. But
I'm going with willing.
You know,
it's an important quality.
It really is. All right, I'm going to go back to you, Bob. I'm going to make another prediction for your second man crush. All right, I'm going to go with Brandon Smith. Am I at least
a little?
Close?
You know, I think Brandon's still got. He's still. He first of all, it's a tough crowd at linebacker. He's got to carve out a little niche.
Maybe he'll start that first half of the first game.
I do like where your head's at, Jimmy. But so I am going to go with a player that is a bit of a projection. But I think that. I think his play this year is going to be critical to Penn State.
Got
it. And I think that this is a guy – like, I don't have the greatest record with man crushes. I know Ryan Buchholz was one, and he got hurt, and he just never really got to – and Manny Bowen was one, and he just – I don't know what to say about Manny. This guy I think I feel pretty good about, and I have a funny feeling – he's going to be a real difference maker. PJ Mustafa.
Oh, nice one.
I know that a friend of the program, Jordan Hill, really likes him. And Jordan, you know, Jordan told me before this kid was ever any good that Austin Johnson was going to be a good player. I just have a really good feeling about PJ. I love the fact that he wrestled. I think that's going to help him. He's strong. He's quick. They need help at three technique. They're going to play probably him and Antonio Shelton. But I really think he's got a huge ceiling, and I think he's going to have to play well if Penn State's going to have to – if Penn State's going to try and win the Michigan and the Ohio State games, they're going to need the tackles to play well.
I like that pick a lot.
That one's really a good one.
That was a good one.
That was a really good one. I don't have a really good one. I have to go after that. I got my next one is Micah Parsons. I've watched Micah Parsons play since he was a freshman in high school as a defensive end, and then I saw him blossom into, you know, he played a little running back when he transferred to Harrisburg, as well as played DN. But my man crush is that in a position that he had never played before in a share time, and he was very tentative, he admits now, that he really wasn't quite as a – he didn't cut himself loose because he was trying to be do the right thing guy. And that he was able to accomplish what he was able to accomplish, that's just scratching – I'm telling you, it's just scratching the surface, because this kid is a killer. And if he figures it out, and he's I have a full belief now that he – through the Kentucky game and through the summer and through spring ball, he figured it out. I just think he's going to be an absolute monster, and I can't wait to see it at a position he never played until he went to Penn State. And he's a true sophomore. Never played the position, and he's a killer.
You know, I was going to predict Micah Parsons for you because he falls under the players that you've seen from here locally in high school, and you have a certain affinity for those guys. So I think that was a little bit predictable, but that's okay.
I take the fact that I had seen him because I never got to see him play linebacker, right? I only saw him play defensive end and a little bit of running back. He was a defensive end. He was a pass rusher. He was a disruptor to a team's passing game. He was not an outside linebacker. So my man crush comes from him as a linebacker.
Well, I'm going to throw.
But you're right.
I'm going to throw another one in here, and I'm curious to get your guys' reaction to it. And that is Devin Ford. I think he's being overlooked.
I think Ross beat you to that one already. Long.
Oh, yeah.
I think Ross got you beat on that one.
Hey, wait a minute. It was a year ago that Devin was on our show.
I understand.
I'm going back that far. He was fantastic. Came across so mature, well-spoken. Loved the kid in the interview. If you watch his tape, you got to love him also. I think he might be the most complete running back in the running back room.
I wouldn't disagree with that, and I'm leaning heavily on how Ross, and in all seriousness, I don't think I've ever heard Ross talk about
a player
recruit,
like in
terms of what he liked about a player since he's been on this show. I don't think I've ever heard him really extol the value and the virtues of a player quite like he talked about Devin Ford and the fact that he could probably be a standout of three or four different positions. So I fully expect – I hope he can stay healthy in August. I think he's going to force Penn State's coaches to make some tough decisions because of his talent. And they've done it in the past. I did it with Barkley, and I think Miles really caught their eye, and I think this guy might be in that conversation.
Any thoughts, Andy?
I'd never seen Ross do it like that as well, but I think the running back room's full. He might be the most complete back in the room eventually, but I still think Ricky Slade's a good step or two ahead of him right now.
Well, I think Ricky Slade's going to be the guy this year. I think that's pretty obvious. Yeah. He's the incumbent. He's the guy, and he's really impressive. But who's next? And if we're talking about this running back by committee,
I think it's a committee that's next. Well, but situational running back.
But I think there's going to be a clear number two. And
I'm not
will
sure.
Will it be Devin Ford?
It was
or
Journey
Brown?
Coming out
will
of spring, but Devin Ford wasn't around in spring.
Yeah. Right. And I think that's his biggest disadvantage. The advantage he does have is that freshman, you could play four games. Maybe that's the tryout, and perhaps we find out just how good he is.
I might be wrong, but I think the number two is a combo. I really do. I think they don't have a clearly identified number two, that it's a situational kind of combo thing of what they're...
Just real quick, the danger of getting too excited about Devin Ford early in the season is the competition they're going to face. In other words, I think a lot of running backs could look pretty good against Idaho and Buffalo, and I want them to have a true read on what they think he can do against maybe some better teams.
Yeah, I think he's a sooner than later guy, but I think he's going to have an impact on the running back position, even as a true freshman.
I think he will also. All right, that is it for our show. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We will see you next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.